Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall here at Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church, and this is Father's Day, and I'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And first of all, I'd like to read for you from Deuteronomy 5:16 in the NIV. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. When we were young, and obeying our parents has not always been an easy thing to do at times. Sometimes it's hard work, but we need to know that this is God's plan. Honoring our parents should continue even beyond the time when they are no longer with us. The best way to honor them is to pass on their Christ-honoring values to our children and living those values in our own lives. Honoring involves all that we do, the way we walk, work, talk, the values we hold, and the morals we practice. My question is to you, what are you doing to show respect to your parents? Are you living in a way that brings honor to them? Fathers, their decisions we may not understand. Their guidance goes beyond words. Their sacrifice is often not seen. Their actions are their love language. Clarence Keller wrote this: "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." Charles Wadsworth wrote this: "By the time a man realizes his father was right, he usually has a son who's thinking he's wrong." Pam Brown wrote this: "Dads don't need to be tall and broad-shouldered and clever. Love makes them so." Sigmund Freud wrote this: "I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as a need for a father's protection." Theodore Herzl wrote this: "The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." Mothers would say, Harmon Killebrew, you know who that is, right? Mm-hmm. The sports mind people know who this is. His mother would say, "You're tearing up the grass." And Dad would reply, "We're not raising grass, we're raising boys."
Yeah.
And this for the daughters. Garrison Keillor wrote this: "When his daughter puts his arm over his shoulder, he is a pat of butter in a hot frying pan." That's for Drew. "He who is taught to live upon little owes more to his father's wisdom than a great deal left him." William Penn. You know, my father taught me this one time. We were on a Boy Scout camp, going on a Boy Scout camp out. And I got to say this, I was so lucky and blessed to have my father take part in some of the parts of my life that were important growing up. That age of a Boy Scout, between 12 years old and to be a Boy Scout, you have to be 12, and on up, was an important part of life. But he would take part of that even to the point where he became a scoutmaster. Being an old Navy frogman, well, he had some leadership skills and some survival skills that the Boy Scouts didn't teach, but he taught us. I remember we went on an unannounced survival camp out. And he told me what to bring. He said, "I want you to bring your sleeping bag, your canteen, your mess kit. That's all you got." And so when we got there, you know, my dad had his own tent, you know, that we used to share with. And when I got there, I helped him pitch the tent and take all the gear in from the car. And I went to go put my stuff in the tent. He says, "You're not sleeping in here." And I felt heartbroken. I said, "But I help you put it up. This is our tent. This is where we always camp. You're not sleeping in here. That sleeping bag is where you're sleeping." "Where am I supposed to sleep?" "You figure it out." I felt I was abandoned out there in the middle of the Everglades, you know? I'm going to be eaten by alligators and everything, you know? And I turned around and looked, and the other Boy Scouts were looking at me and looking at them and says, "There he is." He told us the same thing. He told us what we thought he was bringing, all the food. So we didn't bring anything. No candy bars, nothing, you know? So my dad got out and said, "Okay, you guys need a shelter, don't you?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "I see plenty of shelter around here. It's just you have to make it." So he showed us how to take palm fronds to make a lean-to, which was weatherproof. How to tie them together with string. How to take, you know, make sure we get the right ones that aren't going to leak, which were the green ones. If you get the brown ones, they leak because they crackle and they break. Then he said, "We got our lean-tos built," and he showed us how to clear out the area around it so the snakes and so forth and bugs wouldn't come, where we can put our sleeping bags. He said, "You guys are going to get thirsty after a while, aren't you?" "Yeah." He says, "Well, there's a spring not too far from here, but it's a hike." So we had to hike down to the spring to fill up our canteens. He says, "If you want more water, guess what? You got to hike back to the spring." So we filled up our canteens. We learned that we're not going to drink all our water at one time. And he says, "Well, we're going to have to eat." "Yeah, we're all hungry." He says, "You guys know what poke salad is?" "Hell, we had no idea what that is." He says, "Come here, I'm going to show you what a cabbage palm is." And he showed us what a cabbage palm is, and we cleared it out. Inside of it is like a giant artichoke heart. Inside of it is poke salad. You take that and you boil it in water, and you can put salt, pepper, whatever on it. It's good. It didn't taste bad at all. And then we went fishing. We made our own fishing rods with the palm frond leaves that we got off the palm frond. That was our fishing pole. We had string and a hook. We found worms and bugs and used and caught fish. Then he showed us how to fry the fish up. Man, we were eating like kings. Our bellies were poofing out. We were happy as clams. But he showed us then, and at night, it's scary there at night, in places where we camped. But he showed us how to, where to build a fire, how to make sure we always had to have somebody stay on watch, to take turns, somebody stay on watch. It wasn't just a fire watch, it was a watch to make sure there was no problems. And I think those skills, I know those skills, helped me through Vietnam. When I got there, I looked around and I saw the cleared area outside the air base there. Then I saw the area that me and the dog had to go into, which was not a cleared area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we built a lean-to out there to keep us out of the monsoons. We took the palm fronds and built the lean-to. The guys around started calling it the Holiday Inn. And everybody would fight to have that particular post where we built the lean-to. I had a group of guys, we all got together, we built a pretty good sized lean-to, which you could hold three or four guys, plus their dogs and all their gear, keep everything dry. But we call it the Holiday Inn. Considering the rest of the guys are out there soaking wet, and they're going to build one of those things, okay, sleep, try to stay, you know, warm and dry in your poncho, it's not going to work. Because not only does rain come down, moisture comes up. There's a 120-pound fuzzy thing full of water that wants to get under that poncho with you. And I said, "German Shepherd, he's just as cold as wet as you are." But those skills, especially at night, about the importance of keeping watch, about keeping vigilant. Because not only was I responsible as a Boy Scout making sure the camp was safe, but in later days as an Air Force Security Police canine out there on the perimeters, out there in the weeds, I was responsible for keeping that base safe. I wasn't going to sleep on my watch. Fathers, they see our fault and they correct them. They see our burdens and they carry them. We see their imperfections and we understand them. We see their faithfulness and we honor them. Margaret Truman wrote this. "It's only when you grow up and step back from him that you can measure his greatness and fully appreciate it." In Malachi 4:6, He will turn the heads of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. In Proverbs 27, the just man walked in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, I'm not saying I had a perfect dad. None of us do, except for one. We all have a perfect dad and the Father of Jesus Christ, our Holy Father. He is perfect. But I do can say this. There was a time when he could have left. He could have left me. He could have left our family. When everything went so downhill, the family broke apart, and my mother being hospitalized and institutionalized in a mental hospital for most of her adult life, there was a time when he could have left me with her parents, my grandparents. There was a time when he thought about going to Australia, seriously. And then he decided he wanted to take me to Australia too. But he decided, no, we're going to make it work here. And he met my stepmother. And Dad, I hope you hear this, that one of the greatest things that you did in my life was to bring Betty into it. And she was a wonderful person, a strong-willed woman that taught me so much. And where you had imperfections, she had perfections, and she watched over both of us and tried to, in her life, make a difference, and she did. You see, it takes both parents. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so important, what the world needs to understand. God knows this, and he tells us this. God even knows in nature. Sometimes it takes both parents. In the last couple of weeks, since I started my swimming exercises every day, and I also want to thank God for that. And I'll come back to that in a moment because I want to have a little thing I'd like to say about that. But one of the pools I swim at here in Tampa, Florida, is called Sulphur Springs. There used to be an old spring there that for many years was a tourist stop. It was a place where people would come to swim in the summer. I think some of you probably have swam there in the past. And now it's got a big swimming pool out there. And just what's left of that spring is now encased in a large concrete abutment. And in that large concrete abutment, probably about twice the size as our room here, is where the original Sulphur Spring, the water is bubbling into. There's also, it's higher than the ground level of the Hillsborough River, which runs right beside it. So there's a spillway that comes over the top of that, where the water spills out into the river. About 3 weeks ago, I noticed a mother duck was up in the concrete area, and she had 9 little baby ducklings. And they're off there following her around. And the next couple of days, I started seeing that there's less and less ducklings. And I asked the lifeguard, so what's going on? She said, well, it's either the storm that we had the other night has blown some of the ducklings over the spillway into the river. Well, out there in the river is what? There's things that are going to eat those baby ducks. Big bass, alligators, stuff like this. And I was counting the ducks each day I went to the pool to swim, and they're becoming less and less. My heart was, I was going, oh, man, this is not good. And the mama duck stayed right there with the little ones. She wasn't going to leave the ones that were up there. Well, one day I came to the pool, and it wasn't the mother duck. It was the father duck. And, you know, you can tell the difference. The father duck, it has all the beautiful green coloring, where the mother duck is just pretty kind of brown. But he had the green head and so forth. You know, so you can tell it's a mallard, and you can tell it's a male. And I asked the lifeguard, I said, what's going on? And there's 2 little ducks left. He said, oh, that's the father duck. And I said, well, where's the mother? He said, I don't know. I said, wow. So the father duck is taking care of the 2 little ducks that are left over. Came back the next day, there's only 1 duck, 1 baby duck and the father duck. So I walked around the side of the pool area, and all of a sudden I saw the mother duck. And she's down there right by the edge of the water with, guess what, 6 little baby ducklings with them. So what was going on is that as soon as the duck went over the spillway, the father duck would gather them up and take care of them while the mother duck took care of the other ones. I guess what happened is the 2 little ones that were left weren't getting the message they need to go over the spillway because we all need to stay together. The mother duck wasn't going to push them over the spillway, but the daddy duck did. Mm-hmm. So they're all, there are no more ducks up there. I went and I looked, and they're all swimming around there together. So that shows me that sometimes the father duck doesn't have the easiest job to do. He's got to be the one that boots them out. He's got to be the one that's going to say, look, for the survival for all of us, you need to go to the spillway. You need to get down there with your brothers and sisters. Yeah. God sometimes does that to us. He will let us know that it's time to get off the comfortable place that you're at. Go down that spillway and get into that river of life and see what adventures and what he has for you out there. That duck could stay there. There's plenty to eat in that little, that contained area. There's all kinds of what you would call the stuff that floats around,
the algae and the other weeds
and stuff like that, and bugs, you know. They could eat that, but there's so much more to life than being contained and being fed in one little spot. You know, Isaiah said in Isaiah 22:23, I will drive him like a peg into a firm place, and we will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. Sometimes it takes a little, you got to make sure that when the father says we're going to do something, we're going to do it right, we need to listen to him. Being drove into a wall and stuck in like a peg, sometimes it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. In Isaiah 22:22-24, the Amplified Bible says this, and the key to the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open, and no one shall shut. He shall shut, and no one shall open. And I will fasten him in a peg or a nail or in a firm place, and he will become a throne of honor and glory to his father's house. And they will hang him on the honor and his whole weight of responsibility for his father's house. The offspring and issue of the family, high and low, every small vessel from the cup even to all those flasks and big bulging bottles. From the, what the family starts here, that's in the Amplified version, what the family is showing here, or what these verses is talking about, is we start off and what flows from the Lord to us, the wisdom, the love, the experience that flows from the Lord, as we pass that from generation to generation, as the large vessel passes that to the smaller jars, and from the smaller jars to the smaller containers, and on, that is passed on. Just like that river, those ducks that are floating down now, that river of life is going through a wonderful journey. And it's something that the love of Christ we need to pass on. We need to not only pass that on just by reading and studying the Bible, but by example. We need to understand that in our society, for such a short time now, in the eyes of the Lord, we've been doing the wrong thing. We've been discounting the family nucleus. We've been discounting how important it is to have both male and female father and mother in a family. Now, sometimes the situations happen, and the Bible talks about that too, where there's a situation where it's a widow or a widower, where both parents are not there, or there's other circumstances that happen. And that time is a time when godly men should step up as an example and be able to show through the example and through their life, and by also sharing the word of Christ with them of what a godly example should be. Now, I'm not perfect. None of us are. But Jesus Christ is. And as long as we stay with his teachings, and as long as we ask before we become a mentor, or before we try to talk or be able to reach those less fortunate than us, ask for his guidance. He will guide our heart, and he will guide our actions. There was a decision that was made several years ago in my life, Carolyn and I, and we had talked about this, Carolyn, and I don't know if you remember that we had the discussion one time when we saw and were approached in our diving as somebody was going on a treasure hunt. And if you remember, they were looking for experienced divers. And we talked about it. It would take a year out of our life to go do this treasure hunt. Mel Fisher and his crew were trying to put together top divers to go through this. And at that point, Carol and I were pretty decent divers. They knew what our experience was as instructors and so forth. But we had to weigh this decision. Should we go chasing after this gold, this worldly gold, and take a year out of our life and lose the things that we have? A home, a car, just the little things that we had, the basics. Was it worth that? Or should we go ahead and go down to Fort Myers and work for the Marine Institute and teach kids? Well, the Lord helped us make the right decision. And Carolyn was through this time, we was the voice of reason. Come on, guys, how much of an adventure would that have been, right? Sailing out in the Bahamas looking for wrecked treasure, things that you read about as a kid, right? You've been asked to be part of that. Not only was the ego there, I've been asked to be part of this, but, the sense of adventure and everything else. But then Carolyn, and I think through thy divine intercession, probably through my mom, Betty, said, "No, you don't. Snap out of it, kid. Wake up." Well, their expedition turned out to be some tragic things happened. During that expedition, the leader of the expedition's son was killed and the boat sank. He was drowned in the boat. A couple other people were injured and set adrift, and it wasn't good. And when we heard that news, Carol and I we didn't say too much to each other. We just kind of looked and said, nothing needs to be said here. Move away, don't look. Nothing for you to see here. The Lord protected us, but he gave me some treasure that I will never be able to repay. First of all, he possibly gave us our life back from something that could have happened out there in the middle of the ocean. But above that, he gave me the experience, and Carol and I both, the experience of taking some people that have never, ever been underneath the ocean, would never have that experience in their lifetime, come from a neighborhood, the hood, the bad neighborhood, that were able to experience something so beautiful that it's hard to explain to somebody that's never seen it. So beautiful and so treasured that some of those that we have taught in the past have gone on and made careers of what they've learned. Jesus Christ gives us that view. He shows us, first of all, what's important. Two, he shows us such a wonderful world that's coming ahead of us. Such a wonderful, wonderful place he's going to take us. This world has some beautiful things in it. It has some good people in it. But it also has some wickedness in it, a lot of it. And we see it day to day. But we also see what the strength of love can do. What the strength of love and the power of love is so overwhelming that it leaves those who are non-believers aghast to be able to describe it. They're left without words. It's beyond their fathom and their imagination. Recently, and I'd like to say this over the internet and all over, our church and all of us here pray for those people in that church in South Carolina. We pray that for their demonstration of love and strength is a lesson for all of us to learn. It's a lesson for all of us of what it means to be a Christian. And we are so humbled by them. And this country is being humbled by that incredible strength that they're showing. And that is to forgive that man, that whatever his problem was, but to forgive him one by one. Each family has forgiven him. And video, by words. And I am seeing some miracles happen. I am seeing news anchors and news people that are standing up and just, I've heard them say a couple things. One, I can't believe, I've never seen something like this before in my life, one reporter said. Another reporter said, I don't know where that comes from. It must be something in the water in Charleston, South Carolina, that these people are drinking that makes them that good. And then another person says, you know, for a long time I didn't know about this religious stuff, what it's all about. But, you know, I think I might want to learn more. That is the mark of how the Lord can use love to overtake hate. Thank you for showing that to us, South Carolina. Thank you for showing that in our heart, how strong we need to be, no matter what. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. What is a man? A man is not a stone, but bread that has been broken. Not a frozen lake, but a flowing river of kindness and compassion. Not a steel pole, but a willow that can bend in the storm. Not a tyrant, but a servant leader who humbly seeks the good of others. Not a fixed signpost, but a wise guide who leads by example. Not a sculptor who works with stone, but a gardener who nurtures and encourages growth. Not a lifeless statue, but a caring communicator who speaks from the heart. Not a petrified tree, but a branch abiding in the vine, fruitful and totally dependent on the living God. Rose Lesson wrote that. That all might honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. John 5:23. And today is Father's Day. It's important to realize that our earthly father tried his best. And sometimes, because of the world's circumstances and so forth, without the right guidance, some fail. But remember, the times that they tried, it's not the big things. It's not providing you with, you know, fancy cars or this or that. Providing you with the most important thing that he could give you is his time. The simple times that we had, fishing, hunting, or just hanging out together. You know, my dad worked real hard. And in order to keep me with him, sometimes he'd have to take me to work. And he had his own print shop. And it was a little print shop at first that he had. And he would take me to work. And sometimes at night, I would sleep in a box where the paper came out of. And I'd just curl up and go to sleep there. And I'd hear that printing press, because he was working on that press because he had to promise somebody that he would have it for him in the morning. Something may have broken the press. Something may have happened. Maybe the paper didn't get there in time. Maybe the ink wasn't right. But something put that timeline back. So all the people that worked for him were at home with their families. But he had to stay there because he made a promise. That taught me a lesson there too. That your word is important. And even though it takes sacrifice, that you got to stay late and do it. You do what you tell people that you're going to do. And I could go to sleep with that humming printing press right beside me, feeling safe, knowing that he was there, and, you know, that's all I needed. I was happy to be there. I didn't have time to bring toys or anything with me at all, but I had such an imagination that I could play with clothespins all day long, you know, and be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I could make zillions of things out of clothespins, airplanes, soldiers, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if I had a box, oh boy, and crayons or something to paint on a box, I had a spaceship. I had everything I needed. It's right there. It's all my imagination. But one thing I didn't imagine that I knew was true is that he loved me. He still does. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, I had a conversation with him, and he encouraged me again. And I wanted to say this. In my life, and he brought this up to me, he says, whenever you decided to do something, Ted, you did it. You buckled down and you did it. You said you want to be a scuba instructor, and you became a master instructor trainer who trains scuba instructors. You always did the best that you could do if you put your mind to it. When I wanted to get in karate, I wanted to go all the way to black belt, and I did it. Had my first black belt in judo when I was 17. He always convinced me, and he said, when you wanted to become a pro wrestler and wanted to wrestle, you had to work out for all that time, and you wanted to wrestle in high school and in college, that you did. And then you became a pro. He encouraged me. I have another goal that he's helping me with through his encouragement. And it's not easy to stand up here and say this, but I've got to be truthful. I'm losing my friends. They're dying way too soon. My wife depends on me. Without me, you know, what little income we do have coming in, she's not going to make it. If I don't take care of myself, and if I go real quick, I'm letting her down. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is I can't let God down. He's got a job for me to do. I know what he wants me to do, but I got to get myself back in shape to do that. I told my dad this, and he reiterated all the things that I just said about wanting to do something and being able to do it. I'm making a commitment that by this time next year, I will be down to my wrestling, fighting, strongest weight that I was at, and that's 245. That was the strongest I ever was in wrestling, the best shape of my life was at that magic number, 245. In order to do that, I got to lose 100 pounds, and I will do it. By the grace of God, by the inspiration that my father gave me, and by knowing that Jesus Christ wants me around, and I owe it to my family. And right now, I want to let you know that I'm on that journey. And the steps I've taken so far, in 3 weeks, I'm at where I'm swimming 5 times a week, an hour each day that I swim. I swim for 30 minutes, I break for 5 minutes, and swim for 30 more minutes without stopping. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm also doing water aerobics with a bunch of old ladies. Sorry, I hope one of them will listen to this, but it was an eye-opener for me. It was a humbler for me. And to realize that, you know, they're just a little bit older than I am. Some of them a lot, some of them a little bit. And there's certain things I cannot keep up with them. When it comes to running in the water, I can't do that. If the water's below my waist, I can't run in the water. It's too bad. It's too hard on my legs and my knees because of the degenerative bone disease. But once I get to where I'm buoyant, I can keep up with them. Yeah, I can do that. Plus, we've got water barbells now that I'm using to build up my doing my exercises with and so forth. And that's 3 times a week at an hour time plus 5 times a week swimming. And that's my new job. My new job is to get myself back in shape so I can go out there and serve the Lord. So I can go out there and wrestle with the bad guys out there again. Not in the ring, but in the spiritual ring of the Lord. He's put me back in it. And I've got some great tag team partners. I've got Mark. I've got Linda, I got Shirley, I got my wife, I got Drew, Lisa, these are my tag team partners, Debbie, these are my tag team partners. that when I start feeling like I can't go on, they're going to do what we used to call in pro wrestling an alligator tag. You know what that is? In tag team wrestling, when you had pro wrestling, you would reach out and tag your partner so that he would get in and do the fighting, right? Because you were tired. But we have what we call was an alligator tag. That's just, you know, alligators got short little arms, so they can't reach that far. So if I'm in there and I'm, oh, I can't do it. Oh, I tag you, but I can't reach you. You can do it. You got to do it. That's why I'm using Kurt, because I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. With the help of Jesus Christ, I can do anything that He wants me to do.
Amen.
And He wants me to do this. On this Father's Day, I want to say thanks, Dad. And I'm so blessed that you're still here. I'm looking forward to go fishing with you so we can spend some time together. And above all, I am so grateful that you didn't leave me. Just like my Father in heaven has never left me, He will always be with me through eternity.
Amen.
And that we can all be blessed about. Let us pray. Lord, throughout this country and throughout this world, the importance of a father has been put in second place, and it shouldn't be. If a man's a real man and he's a father, he has responsibilities. He has things he needs to do. And Lord, show them, the ones that are faltering, the ones that are second guessing, the ones that are thinking of themselves and not of the family and not what their decisions can harm, change their hearts, Lord. I ask you to go through this search, each heart, and change it. And we know that you can, Lord, because through your example of dying on that cross, through your example of that total self-sacrifice, is an example to us all that love can conquer even death. We ask this in the name above all names, to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Amen.